Hello, darlings, and welcome back to another episode of the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. It's me, Alec Mappa. I'm an actor and comedian. I live in Hollywood, and I'm here by myself today because my granddaughter, Priyanka, is out on the road. Bitch, she's busy. Bitch, I'm Busy also happens to be the title of a track on her new EP, which is now charting on iTunes. Congratulations to Priyanka. Her EP is called Taste Test. It's charting. We'll see her again soon, but I'm so excited because we have the latest, sadly eliminated queen from RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. We have Scarlett Envy, and I can't wait to talk to her. So stick around. It's gonna happen. It's happening. I'm so excited. Scarlett, welcome to the fine program.
Thank you so much, Alec. Thank you for having me today.
Well, listen, you know, I'm a huge fan of the show. I'm a super fan, which is why I'm here, which is why I host this program. I love RuPaul, but for the very first time, I disagreed with RuPaul's assessment. I did not like the judgment that was passed on you. I thought that you listened. I thought that you were genuine in speaking about your mothers at the Pink Table Talk. I'm a parent. I'm a queer parent. My son is 16 years old. I've been with my husband for 19 years. So I saw you being completely authentic.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, and I have heard this a lot. After these episodes air, you know, we get a little bit overwhelmed with response, whether it be good or bad,
right?
You know, it's just the world lights up after an episode of Drag Race. It has for a long time. It's why it's the powerhouse show that it is, right? Everybody has a strong opinion.
Yes. The fandom for Drag Race is extremely enthusiastic in good ways and bad. And now speaking to that, what was the response to you after this episode?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. It has been. I haven't gotten a whole lot of negative, really. I think that people generally feel the way that you just said that you do. And that makes it a softer blow. It makes it easier, I guess. You know, my dreams were crushed on national TV, and we will get to that, Alec. We will get to that. But
all right, having your dreams crushed on national television, it was a sad departure for me as a viewer, because I feel like your skills as a queen are really, you brought look after look after look that was absolutely wonderful. Specifically in this episode, you had that dress. That was made out of letters that your grandfather wrote. Mm-hmm. Absolutely beautiful. It was almost kind of like a 1930s dress. It kind of reminded me of the silhouettes that Zac Posen was making while back, where he did the 30s flounce on the shoulder. Now, you have a design background, do you not?
I do. I can't take credit for the silhouette. That was made by my really good friend Alex Dymek here in the city, who opened his own company, House of Fluff, and designs the most amazing things. He's worked for the show before. We've seen his work on the main stage before. But he's just so talented.
With who?
He did, the first thing that comes to mind is like Nikki Doll's Cinderella dress. He did also my Blue Jean Baby look this season, and he's designed for a lot of other girls too.
Oh, that was very cool.
But yeah, he, you know, put together this incredible, I came to him with the concept, you know, these letters, I want to use them somewhere in my package. And
clearly this was a collaboration. I mean, he didn't say, hey, give me your grandfather's letters. That would make a good dress.
Right. No, and that's how I work with every designer that I work with. You know, I'm very hands-on. I'm very controlling in that way. I'm very picky with, like, what I'm going to wear and how I'm going to show myself and what my package is going to be. So that being said, I also gave him a lot of creative direction as well and a lot of creative freedom. We went and shopped for patterns together, and we found, you know, these cool, beautiful, like, laces and these polka dots and the stripes and the ginghams and the sequins, and he just put it together in this incredible way that I cannot take credit for. But I did make that fabric. I had that fabric made years ago, and I've just been sitting on it, and I just you know, this was the proper time to use it. I'm so happy. You know, it might not have come across, I guess, to the opinions that were most important in that room on that day. but it came across to, I think, most of the viewership. And that's what I'm grateful for. And I respect, by the way, I want to say that I respect what happened that day. You know, I want to respect
all right.
Ginger's choice. I don't agree with it, but I can still respect it, you know. I, of course, don't agree with my critiques that day either. But I can respect those too. What I can't respect is people saying that I lied about my critiques, because I definitely disagree with that. I don't think that that was ever... I don't quite understand where that came from, but I stand by the fact that I did not get the worst critiques on that dress, or on that performance for that matter.
The critique for me was puzzling, and it begs the question, just exactly what do you have to do to make a black drag queen uncomfortable? I thought there was a higher bar set for drag queens, and it was just puzzling to me. What I really want to praise you for is all of your drag seems very well thought out. You know, for me, I was looking right before the podcast started at a YouTube of all of your looks. From somebody on YouTube put together a YouTube video of all your looks from season 6. Mm-hmm. And there's like I love the proportions of your hair. You kind of seem to span 50s through 70s glamour. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, really, honestly, if I'm picking decades, I think I live somewhere in the 40s meets the 90s. It's really where I find like I a lot, because you know a lot of my inspiration comes from like the supermodels of the 80s and the 90s, you know. Yes. Linda Evangelista, Brooke Shields, Naomi Campbell, all the big the heavy hitters of the supermodel age, and of course that's the 80s and the 90s. But then I also have this like kind of old Hollywood vibe that I can't shake even if I wanted to, you know?
Yeah, the big hair, the big Valley of the Dolls hair. It's almost like Jane Fonda and Barbarella, how the hair goes really high.
Yeah.
And you have that smoky come and fuck me eyelash that it's
yes.
just kind of, and the arched eyebrow I absolutely love. And you bring the smolder.
Well,
it's very
thank you.
Who is she? How'd you come up with her? Did you just beat your face one day and say Candyman three times in the mirror and Scarlet Envy appeared?
Honestly, kind of, yeah. I was in college. I moved to New York for school, and I wasn't allowed.
From Kentucky,
which kind of, that explains a lot of the big hair that you're commenting on. It's like a very Southern thing, right? You know, higher the hair, the closer to Jesus. I need all the help I can get.
Because you do kind of embody her the minute you step onto the runway.
Yeah, it's definitely a big part of me, you know, who she is. And my relationship with her, it teeters somewhere between, you know, she is me, but she's also my boss, you know, and I get a little nervous about how she's going to feel about certain things. And I don't know. I honestly started drag because I wasn't allowed into the gay bars. I wasn't of age. And so if I put that on, then no one ever asked me for an ID and no one ever charged me for a drink. And in fact, they even made the mistake of giving me a microphone. So
I did that too in New York City, because when I first came there, the drinking age was 18. Mm-hmm. And then the following year, they changed it to 21. And so all of the places that I had gotten into the year before, I couldn't get into. So I would get dolled up and drag, and nobody cards you. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, that was my experience. And this was probably right around maybe like season 3 of Drag Race. It wasn't like super explosive just yet. I still had like, it was kind of becoming this phenomenon. There wasn't very many drag queens in New York, to be honest. You know, we had Bianca right. Del Rio, you know, Misty Meaner. It wasn't what drag is today.
Right,
and
right.
I think that's maybe why I was allowed to kind of slip in. Like, I think today it would not work the same. You know, if you're in drag, I think they would still make sure that you're allowed to be there legally, but that wasn't the case at the time. So that's how
that
I started,
not the case.
You know, and it kind of grew from there.
I learned about you first from Instagram. I think I was looking at pictures of you on Instagram, and when they announced your casting, and I was like, okay, she's on. Now, speaking of casting, you hear that you got the call for All Stars. What was that like? Walk us through that experience of like, hello, Hollywood calling, World of Wonder.
Yeah, so, you know, it's validating, right? When they call you back and they say, you're an all-star. It was actually offered to me, you know, as something, you know, do you think you're ready for this? Do you think this is something that you want to begin with? Which is not exactly the way it goes the first time. You know, the first time around, of course this is what you want, you know? This is so exciting. And, and then for the second call, you know, you deal with what you what your first experience is, and you do have to think about it. You know, is this what I want? You know, am I ready for this? Am I ready to show this? Have I elevated? Am I, is my drag worthy of going back on there again? Have I changed enough? Like, you know, what do I have to say to the world? What do I have to show the world? Have I worked on what I should work on?
And what was that answer?
Absolutely. It was a yes. I couldn't find any reasons to say no. I absolutely was so excited, and I was honestly honored, you know, to be, it's validating to get that call. And I said, yeah, yes, sir. Like, let's do this. You know, I'm ready.
Okay. So there is obviously, like, between your season and All Stars, there's a, I guess there's an unspoken agreement. I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for. Idea that you are going to elevate. Right? You are going
to step
from
to.
Your season.
You have to.
Yeah. So what was your intention this time? What did you, what deliberate conscious choices did you make in terms of your aesthetic?
Well, I didn't change anything about my aesthetic because I think that was fine the first time around. You know, I've always loved my references. I didn't pull any new references. I didn't really change like my energy so much. I think maybe what I did, it was more of a physical thing that I had to focus on, was my runways. I wanted to elevate my runways. I really wanted to work on my choreography and my dancing, you know, and my physical movement on stage.
Right.
And my makeup was the third. So these are three very physical, tactile things. Like, you know, it wasn't so much in my head as much as it was how I was physically presenting.
So how does that, how do you operate in that way? Do you like go to a finishing school? Are you practicing your walks? Do you have a, do you have a pageant coach?
Well, I had a World of Wonder spinoff series called Envy of My Boogie where they taught me how to dance, which was so much fun. And we got to like explore different styles of dance. And actually Yara Sophia was one of my coaches on that show. She taught me how to salsa. And I, you know, I learned how to pole dance and, you know, we just we just learned a lot of fun, cool, different styles of dance. I got comfortable with my body, and honestly, Alec, it was very much a problem with me, my flexibility in terms of like my movement, my dance. I just wasn't really stretching. I wasn't really like leaning into flexibility. So I started doing yoga, and like I don't know. I kind of like got, you know, more comfortable in my body, and I, you know, figured out a rhythm that works for me.
Do you have a dance background? Are you
absolutely a dancer? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Listen, no. Kim Chi could barely walk, and she made it into the top three.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem to be an aesthetic that really holds people back. But I imagine that kind of like taking yourself out onto the runway and presenting yourself with confidence is a huge part of the competition.
It certainly is. And also looking good on the runway is. And I don't think that I looked necessarily bad in my original season, my OG season. But I did start wearing a lot more makeup. You know, I kind of understood a lot of color correcting and sculpting and contouring and things like that I didn't quite maybe do all the way properly the first time.
Yeah. And you don't have the perspective when you do it for the first time because you don't see what the camera's seeing. And and then a year later when your season premieres, you see how your looks photograph and how your face photographs, and there's a lot of, like, I'm always brought back to like Shangela's first season on Drag Race. She comes into the workroom, she's hardly wearing any makeup.
Yeah, and that's just what it is, you know? You have to find out, and that's, you know, and I've said this in interviews before, but it's like, it was a lot of self-discovery that season was. And the hard part is doing that in front of the entire world, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure to learn lessons like that. And I'm very open, by the way, to learning lessons. I'm very open to saying when I'm wrong and when I could have done better or what I could have done instead. I'm not stubborn about, you know, I did nothing wrong. I have nothing to change about myself.
Right.
You know, I'm very open to that. It's hard to do that, you know, in front of a global audience like that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's the price of admission. These things aren't done in a vacuum.
No, they're
not. There's a camera running, and people want to see. I mean, that's the drama of the season. I've told Priyanka that year after year, I kind of start off each season with my arms crossed going, I liked everybody from last year. I'm not going to get attached. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I love everybody again.
Yeah.
And you were certainly one of those people for me. Now, let's start getting into episode 5. Now, in episode 5, we're coming off the elimination of Yara. And now talking about expressing things in a public way, Jan won the lip sync. And we find out that if Jan had won the lip sync, Akiria would have gone. Now, there was a bit of tension in the room because Jan was like, I thought everybody was going to vote this way. And everybody voted the opposite.
Yeah.
Did you think she would have owned it? She should have owned it?
I do. I think she should have owned it. And I told her that, you know, I was sitting right next to her when all that happened. And I said, you know, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Because, and I do believe that. I really do.
You did say that. You did say that.
I do believe that. And, of course, later in the episode, we do see me, you know, it's harder when, you know, when things are turned around and when you're in a different position. But I stand by the fact that you can do whatever the fuck you want. And you should do that. And you should do that whether you're in the workroom.
Nobody's ever said that on the show. That, you know, I'm going to vote the way I'm going to vote. And I don't want to explain it to anybody.
Well, and I do think that maybe there's a reason that no one's ever done that. I think that you should be able to explain it. I don't think that you necessarily have to.
Right.
But I do think that you should be able to explain it. I think that no one ever really wants to have to explain themselves coming from a different perspective, especially when it is, you know, the entire group who voted one way. You know, I think that it's just kind of, it would have been easier if she had just picked the same lipstick that everyone else did. I mean, I felt for her in that moment because, you know, for me, I have a very different attitude and outlook from Jan, where I think she cares a lot more about, like, how the group sees her, how the viewers see her, and it stresses her, and it stresses her out, you know. And that's just who she is, and that's fine, you know. Maybe I'm just less of a people pleaser. I don't know. Either way.
Well, it's a thing of, like, you're in the competition, but at the same time, you're kind of, like, you're not only in the competition, but you're also establishing relationships with the other queens who have the power to vote you in or out. Right?
And that's a great point.
So it's kind of like, yeah. You're walking that fine line between, I'm in a competition, but I still have to make these bitches kind of want to keep me on the show.
Yeah. And I think that, like, my strategy in that is to just be real, you know, and to just be genuine. And, you know, I don't know. It comes across a little bit calculated, a little bit maybe ingenuine sometimes if you're just focusing on how everyone is seeing you and you're not actually having an opinion that, like, comes from here, you know,
right.
comes from inside.
Right.
I don't know.
I always think that season after season they ask that question, who should go home tonight, and nobody ever gets it right. If somebody should just say, she should go home tonight because she's my biggest competition. She's the most talented person here, and she's the one standing between me and the crown. Now, if you said that, it's like a compliment to somebody. You know, it's not shady.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
I think that
for
person
any of the
should
girls
be killed.
To say that, though. Yeah. I don't think any of the girls will be saying that anytime soon. I don't know. I think that there's some egos that come into play as well. You know, you don't
Egos with drag queens? What are you talking about? Now, ahead of the Maxi Challenge, you all got to pick teams. Now, how did you end up deciding for that you would be on the team that you were, discussing motherhood?
So, Raja and Kylie are two of my very closest friends in the competition.
Love both of them.
I love them, too. And Raja and I specifically were very close this season. So, actually, Raja and I immediately got together. And then we took on Kylie as well because I love her. Mm-hmm. Kylie and I had worked together on a challenge before. So, you know, I knew that we could work well. We'd actually gotten... It didn't air, but one of our critiques on the main stage was that we had great chemistry together in the infomercial challenge. They liked kind of the exercise queen thing that we had going on, that we worked well together. So I was very confident, and I thought it was going to be a really good moment for me and Raja to, you know, sit across from each other and really have a heart to heart, because we have overcome so much and, you know, we're so close now. Mm-hmm. We also came from very different experiences on the topic mm-hmm. of mothers and motherhood.
Yes, you were talking specifically about your positive relationship with your mother, and Raja had talked about how his relationship with his mother is complicated. And right. for that reason, I felt like what was happening between the two of you was very authentic. You had a lovely moment where Raja talked about the difficulties of his relationship with his mother, and you had a genuine look of concern where you said, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry mm-hmm. you had that experience." And I thought you came across as very authentic, which is why, again, I didn't agree with the critiques at the very end. I thought it was kind of harsh. You had one little moment right before where you went, you were kind of almost giving Sonique notes about you felt her energy was a little low. Was that really how you felt at the time?
It was. Yeah, it was how I felt. I definitely was not, I mean, especially as a teammate, I do, maybe I look back on that and I can admit that maybe that wasn't the right time to say something, you know? You never want to. You always want to make sure that, especially as a team, that everyone feels totally supported. And so yes. I wasn't thinking about that, you know, in the moment. I really was trying to do it for the betterment of our team. If I wanted to be the moderator, I would have, you know, taken the role. I would have said, listen, sis, love you so much. You're going to be so good.
Great job.
Doing
couple
something
things.
Else. Like,
you're terrible at this, and I'm going to do it.
I really would have stepped up and done that if I thought she couldn't handle it. But I knew she could. I knew she could do it. And I think
and
honestly,
she was great.
She did a great job, And she had this motherly energy that was just so wonderful and warm.
Yes.
And I think she did a great job.
So Nick's like a whole different person than she was on her season. I feel like Kylie is like, she no longer has the burden of having to hide the fact that she's trans. And she's like a whole other person on this season. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. I mean, she's always been an icon. That's the thing. It's like she, you know, mm-hmm. has always been iconic to me. And every single time I've been in LA, we always, you know, end up working together somewhere at some club or something. And, you know, she's always been so kind to me off camera, too, which is like, you know, we don't like to talk about off camera because, you know, it is what it is. We talk about what we see. But what you don't see with Kylie is someone who is just so kind behind the scenes. And I had a friendship with her before we walked into the workroom. So it was, I don't know. I was really happy that she did well. I mean, I don't think she deserved to be in the bottom with us. Just on that one comment that she made to Raja about not letting the broken child in us make the decisions for the adult versions of us.
Wonderful.
I think sticks with me still to this day. I remember her saying it in real time, and I just think that even that comment alone should have saved her from what happened to us.
Yeah.
But I think that
it was
bigger than that, you know.
Yeah, because my broken child has made so many adult decisions for me, and it's gone wrong in any number of ways. And it usually starts off with, "I want you to be my daddy." So we have a commercial break coming up, but Scarlet Envy, right before we go to this commercial break, I have one question for you. Is there anything you would have done differently in the Pink Table Talk, in hindsight?
Well, I guess in hindsight, maybe I would have given Ginger the topic of motherhood if she really wanted it so badly. You know, I think I could have done pretty well with another topic. I'm happy I got to tell the story about my mom's, but it does seem like maybe I just wish that, you know, sharing their experience and my love for my mom's wasn't going to be forever tied with what ended up happening, you know?
With your elimination. But the good news is that segment, the way it was produced, and the pictures of your mom were absolutely wonderful and human and authentic. And for all of the same-sex parents out there, it was an absolute win. And I can say that because I am a same-sex parent. We have a commercial break. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this commercial break with Scarlet Envy. And we're back. The runway was Clash of the Patterns. Let's talk about these looks. Let's break it down. Trinity K. Bonet, Wakanda Forever. She came out in a kind of like a bleached afro situation, and this kind of afro modern take on her dress. What's your opinion on it?
I love the look. I really do. I think it's really chic. I also think it was very powerful. Yes. I think I also liked that color on her. It was kind of like a teal almost. I mean, our category was patterns initially. So
yes.
I don't know how much I can say about that, but
was it Clash of the Patterns when you were given the topic?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't.
No. So I feel like I have seen some things where they read her for not having multiple patterns, you know?
Correct.
But that's not what was presented to us. So I don't think it's fair to judge her on
it
not
sounds
having
like a little
clashing
bit of a switcheroo. Yeah.
Well, but yeah, I think she looked beautiful, and I think her pattern was beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we get to Eureka. What were your opinions on this beautiful pattern dress?
I loved this look. I think it was so cool. You know, I'm a sucker for a gown. I love a gown. I love a big dress, and this is my favorite silhouette of all time on almost anyone.
Yeah, you do a lot of mermaid dresses.
Very flattering. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite silhouette, and I had to be aware of that. On the season, I didn't want to do all mermaid silhouettes, but I think she looks so gorgeous. I think she looks expensive. I think she looks demure. I think it looks like an elevated version of Eureka, and I honestly think that she was robbed of the win this week.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful dress, and just kind of like all geometrically how it worked. She always has these patterns that make you, well, she's the Meryl Streep for proportionizing, but she has these patterns, the way that it's put together, that's always drawing you to the center of her body. And again, she does have that really flattering mermaid silhouette, which, as you say, works on everybody. On every size. When my mom, I grew up in the 70s, and my mom always had a Diane von Furstenberg shirt dress, and they said that was the dress that looked good on everybody, and it did. There was something about that dress, I love a mermaid gown. I absolutely love it. Next up, we have Akiria C. Davenport, who came dressed as kind of a drag version of the dressmaker's mannequin.
Yeah, so anyone who knows how to sew will understand her look. I think if you don't sew, it's a little harder to understand.
You're like, is she a scarecrow from a gay bar? What is she doing? Why does she look like that?
It was a lot going on. I will say it was a lot. She had kind of this face bikini, and then she had like the up, you know, the measuring tape hair, and she had like the corset, and she had the pants, and she had the skirt. I think maybe she could have taken one thing off if I had one critique. You know, I don't know. I don't know that she needed like every single element, you know, with the giant pincushion. It was a lot going on, but I actually loved it. I don't know what part of her look I would be willing to sacrifice. So maybe, I don't know, maybe don't listen to me. You know what I really like about Akiria is that she looks really good in this like bright, like canary yellow, this like beautiful, rich yellow. And that's what I love, that measuring tape color, the yellow on her. It looked really stunning, and I don't know that she made it, but I know that she makes most of what she wears. I would not be surprised to learn that she made every single piece of that costume, and that is a big deal for me, you know?
Love it, love it, love it. I totally got it right away, but it kind of looked like a costume to me, kind of like, I'm sewing lady, or something, you know, something... some kind of strange superhero. What are you drinking? I'm so jealous. I quit drinking about 6 weeks ago. What is that, a rosé? It looks absolutely delicious.
Yeah, this is a little rosé. I'm rewarding myself. We cut out a brand new song for my upcoming EP today, and I'm heading to LA soon to do a music video. I had a very big day, so and also this is, you know, this episode is not exactly easy for me to talk about, so I had to... A little liquid courage, you know.
Yes, we have to do whatever we can to get through the day. I'm white knuckling it as we speak. Now, coming up next, we have Raja O'Hara in African print. I thought this was absolutely beautiful, head to toe. She had kind of this Erykah Badu turban and these prints, these African prints, which were on paper, kind of seam clashing, but I thought they went perfectly together.
I think they did too. And again, it's hard to judge because, you know, the girls didn't prepare for a clashing pattern, really. No. You know? No. I don't know. I don't know how much I can say about that or how much I should say about that, but that's just not what we prepared for. That's
Listen,
not what the assignment was.
When Priyanka hates an outfit, Priyanka, shout out if you're listening, she absolutely clams up. Or I'm like, what do you think? She'll go, ooh. And, and it takes her a long time to go, I don't like it.
Let me be very clear. I love this outfit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with you. I don't think that the patterns clash, but that's just kind of like, you know, Eureka's patterns clashed really well. And if it wasn't clash of the patterns, I don't know if I would like all that stuff together if it was just supposed to be pattern, you know?
Right, right.
But we're judging the clash of the pattern, and I think
absolutely
that looked fucking gorgeous. I don't care what Raja's wearing. That's the thing. I don't care what Raja's wearing. She can wear literally fucking anything. And I will just watch her walk that runway. And I'm going to live. Because
she's
the way that
super
she walks.
Talented.
So her attitude. Her, she's a supermodel. You know,
Agreed.
She's beautiful. She's tall. She has that walk. It's perfect.
Speaking of supermodels, up next we have Kylie. Kylie Sonique, and I love this kind of bird, fish, cheetah outfit that she had. Top
not
the
a bird,
fedora.
Fish, cheetah, Alex.
Yeah,
not bird, fish, cheetah.
Yeah,
I love
it
too.
Terrific.
I think it's beautiful. I like the way that it kind of bounced when she walked. She had it was almost like it was like these little like bat wings.
Yes,
like little like bats, like little tiny little like skeletal wings that were like kind of just bouncing up and down.
Yes.
And I think that the pink hat was this like striking like juxtaposition of color.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it met the assignment. I think that it was just enough clashing pattern. Also, she was wearing Giuseppe Zanotti shoes.
Nice.
And those are very expensive, gorgeous shoes. Mm. I'm a shoe girl. I'm a sucker for a shoe, so.
Yeah. Yeah, Rue even mentioned the shoe during the critique.
She did, yeah, and with good reason.
Yeah. You're a shoe girl. She likes the shoes.
I love a shoe.
You're an honorary Filipino, just like me. Next up we have Jan. I didn't really understand this look. I was like, okay, it's a dress, it's rouged on the shoulder, and then she has this kind of weird legging with a stocking that goes into an open toe kind of pomp. I didn't really understand it. And when Jan's on the program, I'll have her explain it to me. And the shopping bags, I was like, okay, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, I didn't really quite get it either. I don't think that it fit the... I don't think it measured up to the assignment. It's a shame because it was actually... This look was designed by one of my very best friends in the entire world, Casey Caldwell. He did a lot of stuff for me, too. And he's designed for the show for years. He's so, so incredibly talented. I think that with Jan, honestly, it was a styling issue. I think that it was the wrong shoe she didn't wear, which I guess there was something that was supposed to, I guess, initially go under it. I don't know. Hmm. It was a lot of, like, oops, you know, this didn't work out at the last minute, I think, with this look.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know. I think it comes down to a styling issue. I think it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the moment.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You're on the show, and you know all these designers. Like you said, you know the designers who designed the dress. Do you, like, call people up and go, hey, guess what happened to me? I'm cast on the show. Can we work together? Is that how it works?
It's funny because the first time I didn't ask for help from anyone. I was very paranoid that I got the call. I didn't want anyone to find out. I didn't want them to pull me at the last minute. I don't know. I had all these fears that, like, oh no, if everyone finds out, like, you know, maybe I won't be on the show anymore. So I didn't ask for any help. I didn't pull any resources. The second time around, I did not make the same mistake. I pulled every resource I could find. I said, everybody knows, girl. Everybody knows. Don't say anything, but everybody knows. You know,
yeah.
I need a wig from you. I need a shoe from you. I need you to help style me. I wanted a team that was better at what they do than I am.
Wow.
And I And I got that. And I'm surrounded with the most incredibly talented people. I want to shout out Casey again one more time for being very good at what he does.
That sounds like the smart thing to do, to kind of have a team in place. I mean, it's...
I did. I made a lot of things myself. I made my, you know, my whole Katy Perry moment with the Love Shark. You know, I made that Katy Perry look myself. I did sew a lot of what I wore. But you just, you know, honestly, it also comes down to timing. You know, once you get that call, the countdown is on, and you don't have time to do.
So what is the time frame between the time you're cast and the time they start rolling? 24 hours.
They said, honey, congratulations, your car's outside. You ready?
Yeah. Yeah, and action.
Yeah. No, I think for us it was a little different because I think, you know, we're dealing with this pandemic situation that was kind of strange last year. And so I don't know exactly how it normally is, but I think it was a little different for us.
Two more queens. We have Ginger Minge as kind of like a butterfly huntress. She has this kind of pith helmet of a hat and kind of like it's kind of a safari outfit, camo, as if she was trying to blend in to like the weirdest jungle ever. I thought this was a lot of fun. Sometimes the critiques on the show is like it seems a little costumey, but I don't mind costumes.
Yeah. I do mind costumes. I think that we should definitely. I mean, also, you know, in the same breath, all drag is valid, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's all a bunch of different kind of drag, and it's all absolutely valid. It doesn't have to necessarily be your personal taste. My personal taste is not exactly. I don't prefer a costume.
When does it become a costume? When is that? You know, when is that aesthetic?
It's an interesting question. Yeah. It's an interesting question. I don't really quite know. I think that.
Okay, example like Ben De La Creme coming out on her season dressed as a fly. Is that a costume?
I think that was fashion.
Okay. So what would so you're saying Ginger Minge, do you feel like this one's a costume?
I don't feel like this is a costume.
Okay. No. So like a costume to me is like if somebody comes out dressed as a werewolf or something. It's like
yeah. Right. Yeah, or like cosplaying or like you know, yeah, I feel like I think maybe costume and cosplay kind of go hand in hand, you know.
That makes sense. And speaking of that, we come to finally, last but not least, Pandora the Box, who came in this pattern kind of in an ode to Sally for from Nightmare Before Christmas.
I hate this. I think it's terrible. I don't like it.
Okay, why? Let's talk about why.
Because I think it doesn't look expensive, and it looks it doesn't look grand. I mean, I get it. I understand it.
This is my thing. Her hair and makeup looks beautiful.
Can we talk about her hair? Her hair
and the makeup
instead?
Is the best she's ever looked. But this looks like to me like when you're in the pattern store, like at Michael's or something on Halloween, and one of the patterns says, "Make the Sally dress from Nightmare Before Christmas." Like, do you know what I mean? That's what this seems like.
It seems a little generic, and also I just don't like the patterns. I don't think it's flattering for her. I think it just needs. I mean, this is All Stars, girl, and also you're Pandora Box. You're an icon. Like,
you're an icon. You're an All Star. I think it could have been elevated.
Yeah, it just needed to be elevated. I will say, I mean, let's focus on the hair because the hair was just fucking stunning. The hair was gorgeous. The color on her, that red was so striking.
Absolutely. I feel like Pandora, there's a lot of looks that's like this season is the best she's ever looked. Like even during the table talk, her blonde wig and everything was absolutely. So Ginger is the winner of the week. She comes out. She has to go up against the lip sync assassin, who and it's revealed to be Bianca Del Rio. And
I was gagged, Alec. I was literally gagged.
It seemed that way.
Like, what is she doing here?
Yeah.
Does she just stay in the parking lot? Like, how did that? Why is she here?
Yeah. And was she ever a lip sync assassin? I didn't know that was her forte. That was a very funny gag. The lip sync assassin turns out to be Mayhem Miller, who I've seen live any number of times in West Hollywood and in Palm Springs, and she's absolutely wonderful. They lip sync to Where's my phone?
Miss Lizzo.
Where the hell my phone? Was that as much fun in person as it was for us to watch at home?
Not for me, because I had a bad feeling about what was going to happen a few minutes later. So yeah. I was really struggling to, like, enjoy the lip sync.
Yeah.
But all of my bias aside, yes, it was a stunning lip sync. They both did an incredible job. And I think it's one of the best lip syncs that we've had all season.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, and there were so much spontaneous things that happened in that lip sync, especially ending with Mayhem Miller's shoe in her hand. Hilarious.
Yeah, it's just so funny. I mean, I love Mayhem so much. You know, we did a drag con panel together, and we've worked together so many times. Like you said, Palm Springs and West Hollywood. I am a big Mayhem Miller fan. And I think she held her own against Ginger. I also think it's wild that they were competing for 30 grand.
Like, oh my god.
What lip sync will you ever do ever in your life again for 30,000?
For 30 grand.
You know? They left it on the stage, you know, and as they should. Anyone that was competing for $30,000 and the chance to send me home should have definitely left everything on the stage, and they did.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as far as a redemption goes and a glow up, I think, you know, mission accomplished. I'm a super fan of the show. I loved you just as much on this season as I did on your OG season. I think you come across as genuine. You're cute as a goddamn button. Did you see that meme that has the prince from Beauty and the Beast and your picture right next to each other?
I did.
So cute.
Yes.
So you love your fans. Yeah. Are you a single lady? Are you married? What's the story?
I'm single.
Okay, you heard it here, folks.
I've been single for a long time. Yeah, I've been married to Scarlett for a few years now. She takes a lot of my time and my energy.
She is single. So next meet and greet. Just know that, folks out there listening, Scarlett Envy is up for a good time. Now, the game inside the game. When are we going to find out about what this game is?
I wish I could tell you, Alec. Right. I don't know when we're going to find out, but right. it is definitely worth waiting for. You know, and I said I like a surprise. I never want to open my presents early. You know, I like to sit and think about it. And
oh, wow.
You know, what's in the box? You know, what? You know, I love a surprise, and I like to sit in it.
I'm the opposite. I want to know.
Really?
I want to rip the Band-Aid off. I want to look at the monster under the bed. I want to know everything. Scarlett, I'm a huge, huge fan of yours. So congratulations on this season. Where can people find you on your social media?
So on Instagram, by the way, please follow me on Instagram. Can I just ask that specifically of people? I would really love for them to follow me on Instagram. It's at Scarlett Envy. One T, because too much tea is not good for anybody, honey. Mm-hmm. Spill a little bit. Just a tiny bit of tea is all we need to be spilling.
Right.
And then, of course, Twitter is Scarlett Envy NYC. I also have a Patreon where, like, all of my real, actual, juicy content is actually on Patreon. All the behind the scenes, like, a lot of, like, fittings for All Stars and, you know, just all kinds of stuff that doesn't make it to the main socials I put on my Patreon. That's patreon.com/ScarlettEnvyOfficial.
That's like your OnlyFans. There's all sorts of nudity.
I mean, there's not a lot of nudity, but it is the closest thing that I will have to an OnlyFans. So, subscribe. It's $3 a month. $3 a month. It's very doable.
Yes.
And then, I you know, of course, Facebook and My Best Judy is where you can find any of my merchandise.
I love it.
ScarlettEnvyShop.com.
My Best Judy. You know what? Follow Scarlett Scarlett Envy on Instagram, on all social medias. And remember, the girls go through so much in order to get on the show. They've experienced homophobia, racism, transphobia, every single kind of thing you can imagine. So when they're online, just show them love. All right? Be a loving fan. Now, I have a couple of announcements before we wrap out. Drag Race España. If you haven't watched Drag Race España, do yourself a favor. Head over to WOW Presents Plus right now. It is so much fun, and they are nearing the finale. It is so much. Have you watched?
The beautiful people, talented queens.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Drag Race Holland Season 2 is around the corner and taking over the world for its premiere on August 6th. The official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast is on every Wednesday on the WOW Podcast Network. Listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me at Alec Mappa on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I also have a mental health podcast every week called Alec Mappa Hot Mess with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist. And of course, I'm on all platforms. You can see my whole career. You can watch me on Ugly Betty on Hulu. You can watch me on Desperate Housewives on Freeform. I'm everywhere. I'm like horseshit. You can't get rid of me. Scarlett Envy, thank you so much for being on the program. We absolutely love you. And we love you for tuning in week after week. Tune in next week for all the tea on the next official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
This has been a World of Wonder production.